To our visitors this morning, y'all may be seated. I know we got a few visitors right over here. Not sure I see more. Yes, I see more back there. This is wonderful. And if you will look in the pouch in front of your, in the hymnal pouch chair in front of you or behind you, in y'all's case, there should be a little pouch with a form and a pen, and you can, you would fill that out, give us a little information about yourselves, put it in that box or basket on the way out the door. We sure would appreciate it. Let us know who you are and how we could reach you and how we can pray for you. And just, we'd just love to know more about you. So please do that for us.
Announcements first, because you always yell at me if I don't do my announcements first. There's a prayer meeting every Sunday at 9 a.m. back in this room over here. It's Ray and Ruth North kind of host that. And anybody's available to, if you would come up here, step on back there. Anybody is willing to come to that, just come on in. The doors will be open. The women's Bible study is on Tuesday night at 6:30 p.m. Terry Buckler is leading the study in the book of Joshua. She's actually said she's going to finish the book of Joshua this week. And she says that they're going to hop, skip, and jump over to Ruth and start Ruth. So all you ladies are starting a whole new book. And it's part of one of the bestseller lists. So y'all come on and, you know, you probably heard it before. It's Terry, the ladies do real good things. Now, you gentlemen, if you want to come over with your wife, Ray's usually sitting out in front, and they have all kinds of good conversations that men have. Most of it inconsequential, as y'all women probably know. The Wednesday night service is at 6 p.m. Everyone's welcome for that one. We have a spring cleaning work day coming, and there's going to be several different projects. We have some, Wesley and myself have looked together and look at some projects out there. We have some men we'd like to talk to about maybe heading a couple of the different projects, and we need to do that probably today. The ladies, we leave the inside to the ladies. They can do whatever they want to do. They know better than we do about cleaning. And my wife, you know, y'all may think that's chauvinist, but that's just the truth. Because my wife doesn't allow me to clean anything. The ladies of LBC has set aside Saturday morning the 29th for a luncheon at Brenda Smith's home. That's our pianist over here. And that beautiful rendition you did this morning started off slow, went really hard toward the end. I kind of like that. Appreciate it, darling. She lives in a beautiful log home on Holly Lake Ranch. Watch for more details on that one, ladies. Ladies always getting good things around here. Man's Prayer Group will be at Friday at 8 a.m. at the Red Dome in Quitman. All are welcome. You're welcome to bring friends. Y'all don't know where the Red Dome in Quitman is. Just head up highway. Oh, what is that, 37? 37 toward Quitman. It'll be on the right-hand side. You can't hardly miss it. They got good food there, too. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you so very much for the finished work you did for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Without him going and dying on that cross and paying the penalty, our penalty, our death that we could not pay because we are not worthy, we would still be lost in our trespasses and sin. Father, we thank you for the free gift that is given to us through that finished work of the cross. We don't deem to fully understand it. I don't think we ever will. But we thank you for it. And bless us never forget the price that was paid for our salvation, because it was bought with a price. Father, I see things happen in this world that are terrible. We see lives cut short in needless violence for needless reasons, and we don't understand it. We know that you are in charge of everything, and we know that you have a plan. We know that in the end, all your children are gathered unto you, and we have a place. But Father, we know that walking through this life that it's, we see things that are very terrible, and we asked that you would give us the peace that surpasses understanding. You would give us the ability to walk through this terrible world that we live in and still proclaim the truth that is the simplicity of the gospel of grace given to each one of us to proclaim. I ask that you would enable me to do that, and I would ask that you would enable everybody in this sanctuary to do this. I ask that you would put a hedge of protection around each and every one of us, knowing that this short life we have on earth is not our full life. We have an everlasting life that we will live with you forever. We just ask that, God, that you would use us and we'd be useful in this time. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture reading.
Oh, that's right.
Scripture reading. Yeah. My bulletin says I'm supposed to read 1 John 3, 4 through 13. 1 John 3, 4 through 13. And I would recommend y'all read along with me, because sometimes I leave words out. Sometimes it just happens. I do my best, but I'm not perfect. But you should all be reading along with me. Let's just put it that way. 1 John 3, 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was the wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth his own brother, or he that loveth not his own brother, abideth in death.
Good morning, church. If we'll let Arben come back and finish up the service. How was that? That good? Arben, that was good, buddy. Turn with me, if you would, book of 1 John, as we continue our study this morning. Is that better? try to keep the excess noise down. Good to look out and see each one of you here this morning. We have two guests this morning. Back here on my left and your right section here. Go by and meet them. They're move-ins. Anybody want to guess where from? California. Welcome to Texas. I can't think of any place better to move from or any better place to move to than beautiful East Texas. Ladies, it's good to have you this morning. We would ask you, even here, I'm not bashful, come back and give us some more of your presence. We would appreciate that very much. Other visitors we have this morning, it's good to see you. Really good to see those that are so faithful in being here. Thank you very much. Thank you, Arben, once again. I grew up on music like that. It brought back many memories. And it's good. I was reading this week about a man, pastor, who towards the end of his Sunday morning service asked the congregation, how many of you have forgiven your enemies? Nobody raised their hand. Everybody was sort of a little embarrassed. Nobody raised their hand. He got a little louder. He said, I ask you, how many of you have forgiven your enemies? About 80% of them raised their hands. He shook his head. He said, how many of you have forgiven your enemies? Everybody raised their hand except one little lady, elderly lady that sat down here on the front row. And he says, Ms. Neely, are you telling me that you have not forgiven your enemies? She says, no, sir, I haven't forgiven my enemies. I've just outlived them all. Having recently had a birthday, I can identify with that. Many of you have asked about my better half, one who keeps me in line and at work, my sweetheart, life mate, Nancy. She went and had a procedure, try to correct some of the scarring she had from skin cancer surgery on her nose. And bless her heart, I hope she doesn't listen to this morning, but her nose looks like she slid into first base on it. It's bad. I didn't tell her that. I said, that's all right, sweetheart. It will get better, I pray. And so, let's look to the Lord in word prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. We're so grateful that we have believers of like mind. Father, how you've brought those people to us. Father, how they are faithful in attendance, how they are faithful in prayer. Father, what a blessing they are to each one of us individually, and me particularly. So, Father, thank you for your mercy and your grace and for this time together. Father, we would ask that you would open our minds, our eyes, and our hearts that we might see, understand, and take to our hearts, Father, the truths of your word here in 1 John. Father, you tell us to love our enemies. Father, many times that is so hard, the enemies. Father, sometimes, just being honest, sometimes it's hard to love fellow believers. Father, our orders from you, if you would, that we love one another. Father, we pray that we might see from 1 John this morning how that works. Father, we give you the honor and praise, and we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Turning 1 John chapter 3, we're going to go back and just look at a couple of verses in 1 John 3, beginning at verse 3. Every man that has this hope in him purifieth
himself, even as he is pure. We as believers, many times, we suffer the as my dad would say, the intestinal fortitude to follow the directions of God and God's word in our lives. And here we have how we can go about to begin to love the brethren. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. This is an incentive, if you would, from John. This is an incentive for holy living today, at present, not tomorrow, but today. We need to remember that we as God's children are not perfect in our walk here on this earth. When we trust Christ as our Savior, we have a spiritual birth that takes place at that time. We've been born in this old fleshly body. We've had this blood and flesh birth, and we have lived in that with all of its desires and temptations and wrongdoings. We've lived in this fleshly life, this fleshly body, if you would, until we trust Christ. At that time, we have received a second birth, and this is a spirit birth from above. 1 John 3:4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Sin. Do you battle with some sin in your life? You say, oh no, I have trusted Christ, I'm led by the Holy Spirit. But friend, do you love your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you love them? That's the question we're looking at this morning here in 1 John. How do we love our brothers and sisters in Christ? We find here in verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is simply this. It's just basically that which is contrary to the will of God. So to be without sin, you must not ever be contrary to the will of God. You must not ever not follow what he dictates or instructs you to do in this life. That's tough to live that kind of life. In fact, I would say it's so tough, you're not capable of it. It's so tough, I'm not capable of it. And the reason is that we still deal with this old sinful nature. It's basically that which is contrary to the Word of God. Do you do what God would have you do, what God leads you to do, what you feel that you should do, how you should respond in your walk with the Lord? Verse 8, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him, or in Christ, is no sin. John's gospel, Jesus came to take away the sin of the world. He died on the cross. He paid that penalty for sin. Here in the John's epistle, he takes away the power of sin over this old fleshly nature. He has turned away, if you would, from the guilt of sin, and also provides the power to deliver us from the habit of sinning. That's who we are. That's what we have here in the book of 1 John that we should look at, that we should consider, that we should respond to. He has taken away the guilt of sin. We have now the power to live a life that is honoring and glorifying to him. We find here, not only does he take away the guilt of sin, but also he provides the power to deliver from the habit of sinning. You see, sin can be a habit. We've dealt with it for however many years we've been alive until the point we trust Christ as our personal Savior. My friend, don't ever let anybody ever tell you from behind the pulpit or from face to face that you do not have sin in your life after you trust Christ as Savior. we still are in this old fleshly body. We still have an inclination when we hit our thumb with a hammer to come out with some verbiage that's not honoring and glorifying to the Lord. When we're cut off in traffic by somebody in a new pickup, has that ever happened? It happens many times during the day. What runs through our mind? Do we say, boy, I sure love you for that? No, we don't. We have a problem. Listen to me. We have a problem with sin as believers. And John is telling us that we have the power to overcome this sin in our lives. In verse 6, he says, whosoever abideth in him, we who know Christ as our Savior, we abide in him. He says, sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. The believer who abides in Christ is responsive to the Holy Spirit's leading in their life. The believer who does this does not, quote unquote, practice sin. In other words, there is the power to overcome that sin. Are you going to do it completely this side of heaven? I doubt not. In fact, I know not. I'm 81 years old. I should have, if I have had the right frame of mind, and if I take the Word of God as it says here, I will have overcome sin in my life. Let me encourage you, I do not have control over all the sin in my life. I do not the things that I'm led to do many times. My excuses are good. I'm tired. I'm old. My back hurts. My feet hurt. In fact, everything hurts. In fact, I tell people everything doesn't work anymore, and what works hurts. That's the fact of it. When God calls upon me, or the Holy Spirit calls upon me to do something that I have been led to do, and I don't do it, folks, that's sin. So we still deal with sin in our life. We find also here in verse 6, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. The believer who abides in Christ does not practice sin. He has a way around that sin in his life, victory over it. He cannot sin, live a sinful life. Only pigs live in pig pens. Sooner or later, that person gets out of that pig pen. Sons eventually go home. So we find that we may be in sin as believers, but God is not going to allow us to stay in that sinful state. Little children, verse 7, let no man deceive you, for he that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. The one practicing righteousness is a child of God. We find this very prevalent within our own lives as we look to the Word of God, as we're led of the Holy Spirit, as we're obedient to His leading. We find that we do not fall for the same types of sin or the rapidity of sin as we once did. Little children, let not man deceive you. We find in verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. This committeth sin. Basically, it means practices sin. In other words, lives in a state in which he is not led, nor is he obedient to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in his life. So we find here that he is practicing sin. We find here the prodigal son may get in the pig pen. He won't stay there. He'll get out. He'll want to be back where he is fed again. And when we overcome sins in our life, different ones, we are receiving that cleansing that God promises us as his children. We find the Son of God was revealed to unloose the works of the devil. Christ came to make it possible for us who believe in Christ as our Savior not to live or practice sin. We find in verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. This is a straightforward verse. It means exactly what it says. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. We who trust Christ as our Savior, we receive a new nature. We don't lose the old nature, but we receive a new one. This new nature, if you would, never sins because it's born of God. Our old nature sins, our new nature does not commit sin. That is the one who is born of God. This old nature is not born again. This old nature still remains as active as it ever was. But the new nature is the one born of God. This new birth is the one, new one who is born of God. And this new nature does not sin. Why? Because it is born of God. Not born of the flesh. It's a spirit birth. It's born by God within everyone who trusts Christ as their personal Savior. Verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. We find Christ says, back in Matthew chapter 7, verse 16, you shall know them by their fruits. The ones who practice righteousness produces the fruit of the Spirit. And that is our responsibility as God's children, is to be fruitful and to multiply and bring forth much fruit. Moreover, as my Father glorified, the Scriptures tell us that you bear not fruit, not some fruit, not a little fruit, but much fruit. So it's our responsibility as God's children to bear much fruit. And specifically, he's talking about seeing people come to know Christ as their personal Savior. Are we busy about that? Have you shared the gospel with anyone this week? Arben mentioned his contact with this lady. I trust he goes back and visits with her, as he intends to do. I hope she's available. I hope the Holy Spirit works in her life and her heart. And when he shares the gospel with her, that she accepts Christ as her personal Savior. We find here in verse 11, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. 1 John 2:7, we saw and read and looked at that in weeks past. We should love one another. Many times, I'm not lovable. But do you love me in spite of that? Do I love you in spite of the things that I see that I might not be just excited about? We should love one another. We should be concerned about one another. And this kind of love is not that warm, fuzzy feeling type of love. But it's a love that cares for, looks after, does things for where those things are necessary. That's the kind of love that we should have one for another. Does that mean that we should condone things that are not pleasing to God in our lives? Is it that we should condone because of this warm, fuzzy feeling that the world definition of love is, that we should condone things that are not honoring and glorifying to the Lord? No. We should, in love and kindness, remind other believers where we see sin, open, flagrant sin, sin that is not of a wholesome nature. We should be bold enough to go to them, caring for them. When we as individuals, many of us raised children, we love our children like nobody else could love our children. We love them with a love that is all-encompassing. But do we not correct them when they're wrong? That is part of love, too, for the parent to the child. That's part of the love that we should have as believer to believer. We should love one another to the point that we pray for them, that we relieve any needs that they might have from a material point of view. We should go and do things for those who are not capable of doing for themselves. These are things that manifest our love for them. Do we love them? Do we love the unsaved? The unsaved many times are not lovable. Many times, God has led me to go to someone who is not lovable, who does not know Christ as their personal Savior. I look back on those, and my heart aches sometimes because I did not follow through. There's times that I have been asked to go see someone when I was tired. I worked full-time and pastored part-time, and you really can't say that. When you pastor full-time. You're on call 24/7. I was reading this week, as a side note, I was reading this week that 57% of the men who stand behind the pulpits this morning, 57% wish that they could do something else, have been educated, or have experience in something else besides sharing the word. They would go do that. Many times, pastors who stand behind the pulpit have worked, loved their people, worked a job full-time, pastored, quote-unquote, full-time, for a meager salary. Let me say this. God is rich. His rewards. God's been good to me. I have stayed up talking with teenagers. I have gone to the hospital knowing that that teenager in that bed would never go home. When I didn't feel like it, when I was tired, I've gone. Let me say this. There's been times when I should have gone and didn't go. In the eyes of God, that's sin. We should be obedient to the leading of God the Holy Spirit in our lives. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And here we find John draws a contrast. He says in verse 12, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Cain's offering was evil. God did not accept it because it was not the kind of offering that God wanted. So we find that because of Cain's willingness to disobey God, God slew him, or slew his brother. Cain's was evil. Cain was disobedient. Cain was envious of his brother. He slew him. Pride was in the heart of Cain. If we think about it for just a moment and allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in our life, do we have pride? Do we? It could be not pride like some people we see in their style of life, in the things that they attend, the things that they do, pride. Pride in their education, pride in their looks. I won't go into that any further. But Do we have pride? Let me say this. Pride, in the majority of the times, pride is the root of the disobedience. Pride was in Cain's heart. His offering was evil because he was not obedient to the leading of God's instruction. In fact, it wasn't leading, it was out and out instruction. And it was forceful, the type of offering that he should bring. Verse 13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Why would the world hate us? Why is the world abounding in instances of Christians being attacked? Why is that? Well, the reason is that the world feels and sees its bad works being reproved by the Christians' good works. How bright are our works shining? Do we come under some attacks? If we do, because of what we stand for, because how we live our lives, then praise God. We should. Because the world hates good works. We find the believer many times is attacked because of their good works. Verse 14, we know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Love, once again, not the fuzzy, warm feelings that the world calls love, but to look at someone, to appreciate them for who they are. Because God's love loves them, we should love them. We should have works that identify us as believers. And that is to love the brethren, those who know Christ as Savior. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, in verse 15. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in them. How does God look at us on the inside? How does he see us? If we hate our brother, God regards the inward disposition of the believer as equivalent to the outward act of murder. We ought to be careful. We ought to love one another. Whoever one hates, whoever they are that you have ill feelings towards, is actually as if you wish him to be dead. It's the word of God. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know not, or you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. We ought to love one another. We ought to have such a love that the world can see who we are, what our status is before Christ, before God himself. And as we love one another, so the world can see Christ in us. But that shouldn't be the end of it. Even though they could see Christ in us, see that we know Christ is our Savior, we ought to be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit, sharing the gospel with those folks. God loves us with a perfect love. He abides in a perfect place called heaven. No sin there. There's no hatred there. It's a perfect place. And not good people go to heaven, but perfect people go to heaven. How do we become perfect? We find in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, have everlasting life. Paul says it another way, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Belief is the same thing as trust. Trust is the same thing as belief. So we find here this morning, one who knows Christ as their personal Savior has taken God at His word, simply trusted in Christ's death on the cross as full and complete payment for their sin. If you've never done that this morning, I would encourage you to trust Christ the best way you know how. His death on the cross to get you to heaven. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're here this morning and you're trusting Christ for the first time, you've never trusted Him and His death on the cross is full and complete payment for your sin. Would you do that now? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're doing that the best way you know how. You're trusting Christ. I'd count it a privilege to pray for you in the days to come. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm the only one looking around, but I'd count it a privilege to pray for you in the days to come if you're trusting Christ this morning. Because when you trust Christ, then Satan really gets excited about coming in and causing you to lose, to doubt your salvation, lose your faith, and just to foul up your life. So this morning, I'm asking if you're trusting Christ and what He's done for you to get you to heaven. Would you just slip up your hand till I see it, and then you can put it down. Again, anybody doing that? Slip up your hand, put it down. Fine. Father, we come to You this morning. We thank You for this time together. We thank You for the truthfulness of Your Word. We thank You, Father, for grace. Father, we thank You for Your Holy Spirit who indwells us and know Christ as Savior. Father, thank You so much for these ones here, their faithfulness in being here. Father, I love them. Father, I pray for them. You know I do. So, Father, I ask that You would undertake for each one. Have Your will in each of our lives. And we'll give You the honor and praise. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.